Cool groove there from Boz Scaggs, his album that he released, his tribute to the blues in 2018 called Out of the Blues, with Doyle Bramhall II, Charlie Sexton on guitars, Jim Keltner on drums, Willie Weeks on bass. One of the great shows that I saw this year at the Montreal Jazz Fest. Welcome back. It is the Melnick and Murphy podcast. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. How you doing, Shane Murphy? You should have played Santa Claus at our Billy Bob
production. What is that supposed to mean?
Christmas party.
What is that supposed to mean? I've been working on my weight. How would you say? How can you actually say something? How can you ask me that? How can you say that to me?
Because I think it would have been cool if you had walked out a more traditional looking Santa than the person whoever that was walked on stage.
How am I a more traditional looking Santa?
Well, it's just bigger. And then what you could have done? You could have grabbed a guitar and then drove people, taking them to another level.
Let's stick to the Santa costume.
Yeah.
Okay. How could you just come out and say that to somebody?
Well, I think you've never played Santa.
You're a prize.
You've never.
You're Charles Atlas.
No, but I'm too small.
Okay.
I'm too slight to be Santa.
Oh, really? But yeah. I'm corpulent enough to play Santa.
You're big boned.
Oh man, you're rough. Rough.
How was your Christmas?
Oh, it was pretty good up until now.
Yeah.
Don't tell me I got to go back to the gym.
No. It's just you'd make a good Santa. You know that. You'd make a singing Santa. A singing Santa.
Listen.
We didn't have a singing Santa at our Christmas party.
I've just been eating through my feelings lately.
Oh, man. Okay? Yeah. Tough time of year to try to lose weight, huh?
Oh, my God. You should have played Santa.
We're coming to you once again from CNS Studios in Western NDG.
West Side, West Side.
Alan Hodgson at the controls once again.
Alan J. Alan J. Hodgson.
What does the J stand for?
Jack? Close. What is the J? Hey, man, what's the J stand for, man? Oh.
Yeah, so this is our Christmas New Year's edition. We've been away since before our Christmas party, which we had a great time at Fairmount Theater. Oliver and the whole staff at the Fairmount.
It's very, been that long very hospitable. Since we podcasted?
Oh, it's been a while. A yeah.
couple of weeks?
Oh, no, no. It's been over a month, actually.
Since we podcasted.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're not really putting up big numbers there. This is number 19, number 20.
This is, I've lost track.
Let's call it 19.
The last couple I've mentioned the number and I've been wrong.
19 and 19
It's 19,
and a half.
Alan. Are you sure? 100% sure? Okay, thank you very much. This is episode 19, and what we're going to do is basically talk about some of our favorite musical moments of the calendar year 2018, and I mentioned Boz Scaggs. And
I'm never doing any more intros of the band, by the way. No, no more band intros.
Yeah, that was I had lost my voice, and even though I had it back by the time of our Christmas party, those of you who supported all of our shows, any of our shows, a single show, you showed up at our Christmas party, Tommy Youngstein and Bilal Butt and his nine-piece band, the Soul Revivers. How about that?
Very cool.
Huh? What a great... there were a lot of jaws open when Bilal finished his set.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And so we appreciate your support very much for 2018, so we decided to throw a Christmas party, and I just didn't want to go up on stage.
Eva Blue, the lovely Eva Blue, snaps a couple of pics, yeah. Right?
Beautiful pics.
Goes up on the web, and Alan Snoddy pulls one and makes this fake Netflix special. I'm getting text messages saying, congratulations on the Netflix.
There are people I know who are so happy for you.
Yeah, life on six strings. And he puts the Netflix logo, and I see it on the Instagram, and I'm getting these random texts. And I had a couple of drinks before you told me you weren't working.
Yeah.
So you told me, and I was a little bit tipsy, and you're like, go intro the bands. And I was like, God. Fuck's sakes. You're the pro. I feel comfortable when I have a guitar in my hand. I get up on stage, no guitar. Anyways, so I, you know when you like get pictures of yourself, you see pictures of yourself and you're like, you're at a weird angle. So I had like my chin down and it was like a double chin explosion. So that's, of course, that's the one that Alan picks. And I see this on the Instagram and then apparently it's on Twitter, retweeted by one of my close friends, who shall remain nameless, and I'm getting random text messages. Congratulations on the Netflix special.
It had to have made Facebook.
Yes, it made Facebook.
Yeah.
Anyways, so.
So you're not. There is no Shane Murphy Netflix special in the works.
No, I wish.
Especially the first thing he has to do is actually get up on stage at an open mic night and perform stand up comedy, which is actually quite possible in 2019, right?
That I would get up and do a
5-minute set of comedy,
like a 5-minute, but turn it into a 19-minute.
No, that's a Jay Farrar special.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know. I think
you know you're funny.
I think I'm like at a party funny. I don't know if I think it's you know.
Yeah, but that's
like guys,
how it starts.
It's like guys who say you know I play a bit of guitar, or I play the guitar, and they're good at playing the guitar in the kitchen when everybody's hammered, but getting up on stage in front of the lights is a little bit different. So I
think
that's
the whole daunting part of stand-up, yeah. Right?
Yeah, and I think it's one of the hardest and bravest things to do is get up. Did you do a set at the comedy thing?
When we had our night,
Pat Hickey,
yes, I did.
And yeah,
but I just told a story. I told a couple of stories, and I told an old family joke. But I'm used to being in. I'm not used to performing, but I'm used to being in front of a microphone in front of people.
Sure.
So it's not a big deal for me as it was for some of the other guys and people at our station. But I was slated to close the show, and there was no way. I know my limitations, and there's no way I'm good enough, whether I'm telling a good story or not, to finish the night. So I pleaded with Derek Sagan that night to close it, so he came on as a surprise guest.
The ringer.
Yeah. Whatever happened to him?
I don't know. Is he still doing the comedy thing? No, he's doing great. He's
well, one of the highlights of 2018 was the Tony Marinaro roast.
He was good.
And Derek emceed it, did his own comedy set. But yeah, I would look forward in 2019, actually, not a Shane Murphy Netflix special, but don't be surprised if you see Shane up on stage one night at an open mic, whether it's the Comedy Nest or some other spot, and but just kind of riffing on whatever.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, I think I'd
you have the advantage of being on stage telling stories.
Yes, but it's maybe if I walked up with a guitar prop, like an unplugged guitar, and I could just hold it, I think it would be easier for me.
I think it's like one of the hardest. Security blanket. Yeah,
I think it's a very hard and brave thing to do because you're up there really, there's nowhere to run, and there's no drummer that you can look to. There's no bass player. You're just by yourself with a microphone. So I think it's pretty crazy what these stand-up comics can do. You know, this create a set from just your words, and to be able to make people feel emotion and laugh. I think it's pretty special.
Yeah, and to change up on the fly. Yeah. Right, just whatever comes into your mind. There's
top three favorite stand-up comics of all time:
George Carlin, Bill Hicks, Richard Pryor.
In that order,
probably.
Really?
Yeah. Bill Hicks, I never got to see myself, which is one of my great regrets. He busted out like a lot of people at the Comedy Fest here in Montreal. He did his one man show at the Centaur Theater. I have a DVD of that entire performance. And everybody I knew said to me, "Where were you?" And I said, "I was working. You know, I usually was busy during the summer when we had a baseball team here. So unfortunately, I never got to see a Bill Hicks live set. But I feel like I've listened to everything he's ever done. And he had that rock and roll element.
The Free Bird skit?
I've seen every one, Shane.
Oh, that's when I became a Bill Hicks fan. I was like, this guy's awesome. He just lost his mind because somebody yelled Free Bird?
Yeah.
And I was like, I love you, Bill Hicks. I really...
And he was from Texas, right? So a lot of the Texas musicians that we used to book, like Jimmy LaFave and his band, they all had, at the time, most of it's been released now, but at the time, in the 90s, it was like unreleased bootleg sets of Bill Hicks, and we exchanged tapes, and it was pretty cool. The rock and rollers loved Bill Hicks.
He just lost his mind when that guy screamed Freebird. He just, like, wigged out. It was so good. He was like, "Shut up with your Freebird!" Apoplectic.
Some of his material would be deemed inappropriate or outright banned from the airwaves today.
Didn't Letterman scratched his last performance?
Famous one. And to his everlasting regret, he did. Bill Hicks performed on Letterman. He was dying of cancer, and Letterman squashed the performance. It was never seen, unfortunately.
But they re-aired.
At some point, it was part of a special, yeah. But he was doing stuff on, before George Michael came out, for example, he was doing stuff on George Michael being gay. It was so obvious that he's gay and making fun of the videos with surrounded by the 20 supermodels, right? And he was what a lot of great comedians do, and they say what a lot of people are afraid to say and make it funny.
Mm. No, very good.
And Carlin is, he was just a master. It's like, you listen to his stuff today and it's... stands up perfectly. It's so appropriate. And that's the sad part of what they did, all three of those guys and other musicians and Frank Zappa, to have them around. It would be great to have them around in light of what is going on today.
Yeah.
To comment on it.
The universe has a way of taking those guys away, though.
Yeah. So where are you going to go up? You're going to go up at Comedy Nest? You're going to go up at on St. Viator?
I went to see one comedy show a couple of months ago, and it was, I didn't feel, I felt like maybe I had a shot of doing like three, putting like a three minutes together or 5 minutes. What's the minimum amount of time? 5 minutes you got
to
do?
Yeah, 5 to 7.
That's a long time to be up there by yourself. I could do three. I can do length of a song, I think. Get in, get out, you know, bank job. No one gets hurt, boom. But 5 minutes, that's... Anyways, went with a couple of buddies, and it was just like bomb squad. It was like one after the other, and it was just, I guess the vibe was off or the crowd was weird, but I felt bad for the comics. It was like one after the other. It was just like, pee-hoo, pee-hoo, no.
Yeah, I have great respect. No clicking. Stand-up comics. Mm. They added me. Ken Doran threw me on a after our. It was 2 days after our last Waltz 40th anniversary. Uh-huh. He was doing a fundraiser at Comedy Nest, and DJ McCarthy was hosting. And he died shortly after. And Joey Elias was on, and professional comedians were on. And he said, "Can you get up and do something?" And I said, "Ken, I'll show up, but I don't know what I can't do this. Yeah. I can't be on the same bill as these people."
And then they say, "Oh, sure, you can. Just get up there and do it."
That's what happened, and I don't know what I did. To this day, I don't know what I did. Boss Skaggs, Boss Skaggs, I mentioned those musicians, Willie Weeks. To see Willie Weeks, it was the first time I ever saw the legendary bass player on stage in concert live.
You know the live album, Donny Hathaway, right?
Yes,
so
I have that.
That's right. Willie Weeks.
And he looks tremendous. He's sleek. He's in great shape.
Can't believe Santa Claus, that guy.
So Boss Skaggs didn't play Montreal for the longest time. I think he's played three of the last five or six Jazz Fests.
I love music. Sorry to interrupt. I love music. Fills my life up. Boss Skaggs is one of those guys. I'm an amateur musicologist. I like the history of music. Boss Skaggs is a hole in my game in terms of me not really knowing anything
you have to
about the guy or his. So how would you explain Boz Skaggs to somebody who's like me, who doesn't really know Boz Skaggs? How would you describe him? Where does he fit in
American music? He came out of the San Francisco era, not the hippy-dippy flower child stuff, but it was the same time, more bluesy. When Steve Miller had a blues band before Steve Miller Fly Like an Eagle, he was in Steve Miller blues band. And so from that era, he's always surrounded himself with the best session musicians. He's got the unique delivery. He's had a couple of smash hits that
something about a dime. Can you lend me a dime or
low down? Low down. You've heard Boss Skaggs.
I got to do some
but
research.
But you have to experience him live. He's one of those guys you really appreciate him live. Some people, as you know, they're brilliant.
Yeah.
On vinyl or disc, and you get to see them live, and it's like, ooh, what was that? But Boz Skaggs is, I was similar to that until I first saw him.
And the opposite is true. Some people are tremendous live.
And the studio
gig all the time, put on tremendous live shows. And they're
can't
recorded,
figure out the studio.
And their recorded output is snail-like.
Actually, I'm staring at a Shane Murphy EP, Staying in the Saddle for Rosie, which I happen to be listening to today. Was this 2015 or 16?
16.
It was 2016. Yeah. And there's four songs on there. We presented the launch at the old Turbo House in St. Henry, and we've played most of these cuts on my show through the years. Cold Chills is like Cold Chills should be a hit, just like your last studio album.
Well, life's not fair. No connections, baby. Come on, pull some strings for me.
Well, there's only so much I can do. And when it comes to showing, you're on your own. Hey, Randy. Randy's got an everyday show now.
That's true. That's true.
May want to just like walk in one day. Hey, Randy, what are you doing? Mind if I sit down? Just talk some music with you? You don't have to play anything and that I do. But so this was the four-song EP that came out in 2016, and the second EP was supposed to follow.
Yes.
And it was. We're moving in. We're now, by the time people hear this, we're in 2019, and we still don't have it.
No.
And to hear these four songs, it's like, come on, man. Like, where is the rest of this?
Right.
It's great.
It's a good question. On the hot seat with Mitch Melnick. That's a good one, eh? The hot seat. You just get people here and you talk to them about their Santa costumes and their upcoming EP that hasn't been released yet. I'm a perfectionist, Mitch, when it comes to the studio. So I don't like to release anything until it's perfect. So that's all.
Is there a chance we will have a release in 2019?
Of course you're going to have a release in 2019.
Of course?
Of course.
Is that a guarantee?
I guarantee
like Messier
it.
Guaranteeing to win
I
game
guarantee
7?
It.
Guaranteed.
I guarantee
release
it.
By Shane Murphy. Yeah. And, all right. So how about Ry Cooter? He's come up a lot on this show.
Yeah.
Another one of my favorite Jazz Fest performances, by a rare Montreal appearance by Ry Cooter. And this is off Prodigal Son. We've played a couple of cuts through the year on from that album. Here's something also that's very, very topical from Ry Cooter.
Now you fashion-loving Christians sure give me the blues. You must unload, you must unload. You'll never get to heaven in your jewel-encrusted high-heeled shoes. You must unload. For the way is straight and narrow, if you are in the road, brothers and sisters, there is no other hope. If you'd like to get to heaven and watch eternity unfold, you must unload. And your money-loving Christians, you'll refuse to pay your share. You must unload, you must unload. Trying to get to heaven on the cheapest kind of fare. You must unload. Eternity unfold. You must unload. Dining cars, you must unload, you must unload. We see you drinking whiskey and smoking big cigars. You must unload. For the way is straight and narrow, if you are the road, brothers and sisters, there's no other hope. If you'd like to get to heaven and watch eternity unfold, you must unload. I think you must
Merry Christmas from Ry Cooder's Prodigal Son album, and tremendous, just tremendous. Well, top five concert at the Jazz Fest this year. Part of it was that he had never played in Montreal before. And
that was his first time?
I was there with Howard Billerman and
Howie B.
Chris Vellon and Steve Herskowitz. We went as a foursome. And it was every musician in town except Shane Murphy was there that
night. I was gigging.
I know.
I was working.
But that was definitely a highlight from 2018. How was your Christmas? By the way, thank you, as always. Without further ado, as Shane Murphy might say if he was introducing Lauren Rubin, of Paramount Financial Services, who keeps this podcast going. Lauren will take it, as we are speaking, the markets are all over the place. But he is very level-headed, and he's got that vision thing going on, and he's a great guy to talk to. And he, too, like Shane Murphy, could go up on open mic night and make people laugh. 514-905-0885, 514-905-0885. Keep that number handy. If you're not happy with some of the service that you've been getting from whomever your financial people are, Lauren will take good care of you at Paramount Financial Services, 514-905-0885, proud sponsor of the Melnick and Murphy podcast from CNS Studios in Western NDG.
West Side, West Side, West Side, West Side.
And he's going to have some company in 2019. People want to help us out moving forward.
Yeah.
We'll let you know the next time
we're going global.
Get together. How was your Christmas?
It was perfect. It was a perfect Christmas.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was very good. I got a last minute call for a gig at Hurley's, so I filled in Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve at Hurley's?
I think one of the Gossages, something happened, and I got the call, and I played to a couple who fought the whole night, but they would stop at the end of every song. You know what I mean? So I would hear as I'm playing. And you know the music room downstairs, which I don't get to play often because that's more reserved for the Celtic vibes, which I understand.
It took you a long time, though, to finally play there.
Well, they were stuck one night, and somebody didn't show up. So that's you know.
I saw Leela and Tom there one night.
I was in the bullpen, and then they pulled me out. Yeah?
And I'm going, and it was great. Of course, they're great.
Yeah, they're great.
But it was like, wait, well, I thought this was only Celtic music down here.
Until you're stuck. Then you're like, okay. Well, maybe we could have a little bluesy night there. So all I would hear as I was playing was, yeah, you're full of shit. Oh, no. I know. Do you even know me? You don't even know me. You've been 11 years, you don't even know me? And then I'd finish the song, and I'd hear like this. You're amazing. We love you. And then I'd start the next song. Yeah, your mother's a bullshitter. Anyways, couldn't drink.
Sorry I missed that.
Couldn't drink.
Why not?
Wow. You can't. I don't even... I had like, somebody bought me a Guinness, I had three sips, and then it was just roadblock city. Cops.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Yeah,
it's tough. We speak, it's the 27th of December.
Yeah,
so and I'm it's, not... it's the whole period is like this, yeah.
So yeah, so I couldn't have any libations to ease my ease my pain.
Couldn't you get someone to drive you home?
Yeah, I could have, but I didn't have the emotional currency at that point. I just wanted to get home and order some takeout or something. Anyways, work on my Santa figure. And then I spent the 25th with my parents. I've discovered at this point in my life I'm not a turkey guy, not a big turkey fan. So my parents cooked a roast beef.
That's what we had.
Roast beef with Allison's prime family. Rib with the ribs on it and everything, and 8-pound roast. And
roast beef. It was
all the stuff.
All tied up and juices coming out.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah.
And you don't have to worry about salmonella with the roast beef. You know what I mean? Turkey, you're always wondering, did you leave it in long enough? You're not feeling so good.
I miss the stuffing, though.
The stuffing is good. So, yeah.
Why can't you have stuffing with roast beef? I think we should start something.
That's a good idea. Huh? Anyway, so I just hung out with my mom and my dad. We watched Legends of the Fall. And I laid in a catatonic state in front of the TV for about 3 hours after I ate about 3 pounds of that roast beef. And I just was thankful that I have my parents in my life. And it was just super chill and super nice.
Yeah.
Just hung out and that's it. Saw some friends.
Do you ever pull out the guitar if you're hanging out with friends during the Christmas season?
I don't know. You ever pull out the microphone and just riff for about 5 minutes on the state of the Montreal Canadiens?
No, say,
hey,
I'm just
guys, you don't mind
that.
If I do a little. You don't mind if I do a little.
No, I think most people know I can't wait to get away from that.
So exactly. I get guitars.
But
in
I mean,
my
a
bedroom.
Christmas like I was part of a Christmas celebration at the Rennies, Allison's,
mm-hmm.
And her uncle Norm Rennie. Mm-hmm. Brought his guitar, and he plays regularly, and he plays churches, and he's done some acting, and he sang Little Drummer Boy and Silent Night. That was nice.
Yeah, it's nice.
Of the Christmas
it is
tree.
Nice.
It was cool. On the guitar, acoustic guitar.
If my mom asks me, then I do it. But I don't whip it out and say, hey, listen, you know, want to do a little abity, abity, have a blue Christmas without you? No, I don't do that. But... if my mom asked me, I'd do it.
Yeah.
But, I went to a party.
Keep
on,
that in mind.
Yeah. I had a party on the 23rd that I went to, and everybody had the guitars out, and I didn't bring a guitar. And it was a pre-Réveillon in Pointe-au-Tremble. And they had all the guitars, and they had amps and the whole bit. So that's how they throw down in Pointe-au-Tremble. Pointe-au-Tremble. Yeah.
And what were you doing the whole time? You're just soaking it up?
Yeah, I was just chilling, and then the guy, then...
No, but somebody must have handed you the guitar.
Yeah, they said, do you play the guitar? And I said, yeah, I play a little bit. And
you probably blew the room away.
No. I played No.
So what was it like opening up for Buddy Guy?
I'm not a boxer, but I would imagine it was kind of the same thing, like if you say... Mike Tyson needs a sparring partner, and would you like to come and do a couple of rounds with him? So I was excited that I got the call. Where did that come from, Buddy Guy? That's a random.
Well, he's on deck here.
Buddy Guy, it was one of those things where it was one of the first big gigs that I did with Tony Lombardi, and as I've described him many times, as unflappable, unshakable, cool as a cucumber, and we Metropolis, and it was sold out. And he was amazing. I had Avi Ludmer from Frank's band, Mahogany Rush, on bass, who's a fantastic musician. And I had Antoine Graton on keyboards. And he had his hair at that point dyed fluorescent pink, hot pink. So needless to say, we got some funny looks from the band as we walked in, you know, as they're finishing the sound check. And... It was surreal. At one point, it was me, Buddy Guy, and Johnny Lang all standing side stage while there was a drum solo or something going on. And I was just, you know, it's one of those cool moments. But I was, I was deathly afraid. It was one of those things that I was wound up. Tony was cool. Antoine was cool. Avi was cool. I was wound up. But
it's rare to have
a great set.
All the people who are coming to see the main act already there for the opener. And it seemed like it was full even when you hit the stage.
Yeah.
And
were you there that night?
Yeah, of course I was there.
Okay.
I remember Tony taking a picture as he walked on stage of the crowd.
Right.
And the reason I mention that is we're going to hear from an artist that a lot of people don't know about who opened for Social Distortion in the last couple of months, and the crowd was not into it. And it was Mike Ness of Social Distortion.
Can you say he came out?
He actually came out, put his arm around this gentleman and said, hey, this guy, this is the real thing right here. And from that point on, the crowd listened.
Right.
So I was thinking of you that night, Buddy Guy. You've opened you opened for Adele. I don't know how many people know that. That's not, you know, I mean, and again, I don't recall anybody, a whole group of people yakking and not paying attention while they were waiting for Adele.
Right. No, it was.
Have you ever had a moment, though, like that where you knew that you didn't have the crowd?
Yeah.
Because they didn't come to see you?
Yes. Of course.
Where was that?
It was Bourbon Street West, and Steve Traynor booked me to open for, I think I opened for April Wine like three times, and I think I was my first... was my first time opening, and I was like 23 or 24 at the time. And so, you're not really used to how those things work. So the main band will go and do their setup. And then you have, in my case, a trio. You have basically this space on the stage where
the lead singer would stand, that's your space for the whole band. And Jerry Mercer had this double, the name of the company is Monolith Drums. And it was a double, you know, two kick drums, bunch of toms, a bunch of cymbals, like took like 18 mics on the drum kit. And so I'm looking at this thing. Anyways, long story short, we start the set and we finish the first song. And some guy yells, "We want Jerry! Where's Jerry?" So I was like, that's going to be. But it was only like a 35 minutes. So yeah, but that's happened. I mean, as you get more experience and, you know, the band's tighter. We opened for Ashley McIsaac at Bourbon Street West with my funk band. I don't know how we got that gig. I think it was Steve Trainor again. And Ashley McIsaac was the fiddler from Cape Breton, like punk.
Yeah,
like
he was out of his mind for a while. He was out of his mind.
Yeah, he was going through some issues, but, you know, he who lives in a glass house.
No,
the guys, you know.
He played upstairs at Hurley's.
Right.
Bill Hurley brought him in for a couple of nights, right? Mm-hmm. There were people in the stairwell who were trying to get in. They couldn't get in.
That was awkward. And I remember we had a saxophone player that we got at the last minute because we needed, again, I was pretty green at the time, and the drummer, a good friend of mine, Snooky Alston, who's a tremendous, you know, singer and great, great drummer. And he wisely brought in a saxophone player because we didn't really have my front man chops weren't exactly, you know, together. So we're playing to like all these like punk rocker people who are into like Celtic punk, funk, punk, aggressive, like, you know, ding, ling, 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 ling. And we're doing these James Brown jams, and all of a sudden the saxophone player starts soloing over all the songs, and he's doing these pirouettes. He's spinning around. It's like, you know, Showtime at the Apollo. And I was like, anyways, wasn't my strongest set. I was confused, and it was not good.
Well, thank God Buddy Guy is still out there. Every year he puts out an album. He doesn't get off the road. When he's not on the road, he's usually hanging out at his venue in Chicago, Legends.
Is like 82 now?
He's 82, and he looks fantastic, and he sounds great. Here's from the latest Buddy Guy album that was released in 2018, and we're going to follow that up with the Ghost Town Blues Band that helped us out during the Southern Soul and Rock and Roll review off their tremendous studio album in 2018 called Backstage Pass. Buddy Guy and the Ghost Town Blues Band.
A drink. Too tired to listen. I'm too tired to think. You're starting on me, trying to pick a fight. First thing out of your mouth, why was you last night? Don't go there, baby. You better watch just what you say. Yeah. Just being who I am. They say, why are you going in such a hurry? I said, whoo, guilty damn. Cost $300 just to bail myself out. I get home late for dinner. You start running your damn mouth. I said, don't go there, baby. That'll be hell you have to pay. Yeah.
sound like when I had a band-aid.
A little boogie-woogie make you feel like you're on Beale Street. I said, this little cook shoulder on a Saturday night, that big-legged woman gonna treat you right. 6 feet tall, 4 feet wide, it takes a wrecking ball to keep her satisfied. Big Shirley, oh, Big Shirley. Yeah, she like the kind of music, baby, that you can jump. When you play that boogie-woogie, she'll be shaking her rump. All right. I say, Rattlebone Jones have something to say. Big Shirley up and ate him when he got in her way. Skinny little feet, great big thighs, even blind Mississippi could recognize. A Big Shirley, a Big Shirley. Yeah, she like the kind of music that you can jump. But when you play that boogie-woogie, she'll be shaking her arm. All right. Shipping, shaking that ass, Big Shirley. Oh, Big Shirley. Yes, she like the kind of music that can jig and jump. But when you play that boogie woogie, she'll be shaking her rump, all right. Yes, she like the kind of music that can jig and jump. She like the kind of music that can jig and jump. She like it, she love it, she wants a little of it. Well, I got to give me some. Well, it's been a long time since I rock and roll. It's been a long time since I took a stroll. Coming back.
Ghost Town Blues Band from Backstage Pass. That was recorded live at the Lafayette Music Room in Memphis. You been to Memphis?
Not yet, no.
Oh.
Have you been to Memphis?
No, I haven't. Maybe we can
road trip.
Make it a road trip. That was pretty cool, and it reminded me of you. I told you that I think when you meet, when we did the Southern Soul and Rock and Roll Review, the Ghost Town Blues Band played the 45-minute set to end the first half, that I think you guys would hit it off because you're very similar in your musical taste, your passion on stage, and the way you weave things in and out. You'll go back to some classic rock and roll as he does there. That's their own composition, Big Shirley, but then as you... You could see
the Beatles. I saw her standing there right at the end. Awesome.
And thank you to Matt and the gang at the Ghost Town Blues Band, because that was quite the endeavor. We all managed to pull it off and that we filled Club Soda, because it was very difficult to sell the concept of a Southern Soul and Rock and Roll Review without getting into it. If you just on the surface said, "This is what's playing at Club Soda." And there is no Allman Brother, or there is no there is no major artist who is playing, who is associated with Southern Soul and Rock and Roll. But just try to imagine what it will be like when we have all of these great artists represented on stage by some of the best musicians in our city, our country, and a crack blues band that's just starting to break in from Memphis, because we couldn't do it without a real Southern band, and these guys were tremendous. But that was just the first half, and it was
all a blur for me, Mitch.
It was a great night. It was a really, really great night, and thank you for leading the band.
Oh, my God. Oh, I wish people listening could see the run sheet.
It was cool. Once
General
again,
Patton, we're taking that hill.
Ruben Fogel was very, very happy. And Buddy Guy, his latest release is The Blues is Alive and Well. That was a bad day from that. He's got guests on the album with Jeff Beck, Keith Richards, James Bay, Mick Jagger, a couple of others. How would you describe, there aren't too many left, right? Genuine blues guitar players.
How would I describe what?
The way that he plays the guitar. Because I have almost everything that he's done.
Buddy Guy.
Yes.
How would I describe his guitar playing?
And so, you know, there's some, you know, I've got everything that Hendrix, I think, has done. Stevie Ray Vaughan, Buddy Guy.
I think
probably
all
Mark Knopfler.
All of the great ones have their own sound, and you know it's them as soon as you hear them, all the ones you mentioned. And Buddy Guy in particular, compared to, let's say, Mark Knopfler, who has a much more fluid, I wouldn't want to say mellow, but a very fluid
sort of...
It is. It's
more mellow compared to Chicago Blues, sure.
Right.
Melodic.
And melodic, and where Buddy, and I think the great ones, their personality comes out through their playing. So you can hear Buddy Guy. It's the intensity that comes across with the playing, the way he, for lack of a better term, the way he attacks the instrument. It's intense. It's visceral. It's raw. It's even when he's playing, you know, slow or subtle passages, there's still this intensity behind it that brings a certain weight to when,
yeah,
you know, that you're listening to this, somebody who's really trying to emote through their instrument. There's some type of, it's not just, oh, I like to play the guitar. It feels like he is compelled to play the guitar that way. And it always sounds like Buddy Guy, and it's always that thing that he's trying to get out of his system. And I think guitar whether it's, you know, John Bonham on drums or, you know, Jaco Pastorius on bass, there's certain players that they're, sounds like they're exercising demons out of their body. They're getting rid of that emotional baggage.
Right.
That makes sense?
Sure, absolutely. And again, if
that's what it is for me. Like if you know, someone said, you know, if you weren't a musician, what would you do? I'd be like, I don't know, be a bank robber or a race car driver, or why are you laughing? You ever meet any bank robbers?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Did that surprise you?
Nope.
Actually, a few.
Yeah, a couple of bank robbers.
Yeah, I know. You probably know more than I do, but
I've known
a few.
No. anyway, so that's, for me, it's a very, I'm lucky that I get. I mean, it's like your job on the radio. You get to, there's this purging that you have these ideas in your head and these thoughts are coming and you get paid to do that and you do mm-hmm. it very well, but you have these things, these ideas in your head that you have to get out, right? So either sometimes I'm sure you feel rejuvenated after a 4-hour session on the air, or sometimes you feel tired, but that you're able to expel those things, get those ideas out, and people are entertained by it. So I'm lucky that I get to do that.
Well, I think I'm there more since I've been able to write for The Athletic. There's a lot of that even though I have a lot of leeway in the way I do my radio show, I still need more of an outlet, and that's the writing is. And I've also written some songs, Shane. You may want to take a look at a couple.
Yeah, I'll release them in like 2025. I got a backlog.
I want to go. I was talking about the guy who opened for Social Distortion. Will Hoge is his name. He's been around for a while. Singer songwriter. If you like Springsteen, you'd like his stuff. But he's got, it's like Heartland rock, but he's got a bit of a punk edge to him. And he opened for Social Distortion. And I'm standing in the middle, like maybe 12 feet away from the stage. And I am one of the very few who's actually paying attention. I'm one of the very few who knows who he is. I have a lot of his work. And it's just not happening for... And I feel, you know, you look at the guys, and I don't want to say they're on autopilot, but this is the first time they're playing in front of a crowd in Montreal.
Right.
And I can imagine, and I'm feeling almost embarrassed as a Montrealer that the people that I'm... with are supposedly sophisticated music fans.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of Montreal crowds can be, when they're great, but they can also be, you know.
They weren't unruly. They were just...
on their phones, they're
waiting
talking,
for Social Distortion to
come
out. They don't care who this guy is. They never heard of him.
They're not music fans, they're Social Distortion fans.
Right. And then Mike Ness walks out from side stage right, and like I said, he put his arm around his shoulder and basically got everybody to shut up and listen. And then they discovered an artist who has something to say. This is from Will Hoge. Again, he's been around a couple of blocks. He's not a kid. His album is called American Dream, My American Dream. It's a great state of the of where America is in his own mind. And on a lot of different subjects, including gun control. And this one is called Still a Southern Man. And we're going to go right into a new release by Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, which isn't actually that new.
There's a flag flying overhead, and I used to think it meant one thing. Now I'm grown up, seen the world, and I know what it really means. I wanted it to be the symbol of a boy who wasn't scared to take a stand. But now I know it's just a hammer driving nails in a coffin of a long dead land. Oh, and I can't take it anymore. Truth. Oh, I can finally see the truth.
still a Southern man. Oh, I'm still a Southern man. I'm looking away now, Dixie, 'cause I've seen all. See you.
Yeah, it's still difficult to believe that Tom Petty is no longer with us. Mike Campbell of that track, which was recorded live at the Forum in Inglewood, California in June of 1981, said, "I hadn't heard this performance of King's Road in ages, and there's this urgency and drive, like we just want to conquer the world. There's so much blood in that performance. Plus, we're playing the Forum in our hometown. We finally made it. And that song, to me, just has that grrr in it. I really love the band. That original lineup had a real thrust to the way we played, a lot of spirit and commitment, and what a voice. Tom sings his balls off." It's from An American Treasure, which is a 4-CD release that was lovingly put together by his widow and his daughter, and Mike Campbell and Ben Montench of his band, The Heartbreakers. When I first saw it and I saw some of the song titles, I went, do we really have to hear these songs again? And the answer is yes, because there's some unreleased versions, there's some a lot of B-sides, there's some live tracks that have never been released before officially, and there's some deep album cuts on here. If you're a Petty fan and you want to have this, we were listening to one of the songs that Andrew Tupper was playing for us in the car one night, right?
Yeah, that's right. Driving through the mean streets of St. Henry. On our way to
Lowick.
We're going to David's Tea. We're going to get a chamomile. But David's was closed, so we went to Lowick.
Hope you're enjoying our look back at some of our favorite releases in the year 2018. And we're running tight here on time. We're into the home stretch here, so there's some stuff on the cutting room floor.
Okay.
But
it's our podcast that we can
It's
make.
Our podcast. I wish I had a little more time, but I don't. But the only way you can listen to this podcast is on the website, MitchMelnick.com. And before too long, we're going to have a listing written of some of our favorite albums of 2018 and 17 and 16, for that matter. And so you'll be able to check in with some music that maybe you hadn't heard before, and maybe even...
Why are you smirking over there? Why are you grinning? I'm waiting for a ball bus to come.
Well, okay, here it comes. The Shane Murphy Staying in the Saddle for Rosie.
Oh, God.
I did a 2015 year in review, and I never got around to 16 or 17. All of a sudden, we're at 18, so I better get my ass moving on this. And this was one of the highlights of 2016 for me. It was your EP, and I hope we have... I really do hope, other than just talking about it, that you're actually...
Nepotism? It's a Billy Bob Productions release.
It's also so damn good.
Well, thank you very much.
We only put our name on something that's good, right?
Thank you.
People by now know that if it's Billy Bob Productions, it's a good show.
Yes, I think so.
It's worth seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Who's your favorite female voice?
Ooh,
We've been through this before.
Amy Winehouse. Hmm. Amy Winehouse. For me.
And I think I've mentioned Betty LaVette before.
Yes.
So by way of leading into Betty LaVette, who finally, for those of us who are Dylan fans, always wondered, what would a Dylan song sung by Betty LaVette sound like? She put out a whole album of Dylan songs. But before we get to that, Blood on the Tracks by Bob Dylan came out. Everybody assumed that every song was about splitting up with his wife in the early 70s. A lot of the songs are, but there were also songs on there about breaking up a relationship with his girlfriend that he was seeing.
While he was getting divorced?
While he was separated from his wife.
Okay.
And eventually he left his girlfriend to go back to his wife, and they did reconcile for a while before getting divorced in 76.
A wise man once said to me, love is blind, but marriage is an eye-opener.
And you have never been to the jewelry store?
No.
Yeah?
No.
How old are you?
44.
Yeah. You're not running out of time or anything. Just not as much time.
Are you being sarcastic?
No, you're 44.
I'll be like the tired old dad, trying to toss the football. Me there with my walker, picking up my kid from kindergarten. Back in my day.
The original, Blood on the Tracks originally was planned as a solo acoustic album.
I would like to get married. I think it would be a great thing.
You got to meet somebody, right?
But you have to... It's. I think a lot of people do it, I don't know, flippantly is the word, but very without, people don't give it as much thought as they should, I think. People just think, yeah, let's go get married. It's like, you're going to get married?
And it's not only getting married because that's what people, quote unquote, do. It's also having children because that's what people...
And I'd love to have kids. But again, that's I've had people in my life who've had kids to try and save their relationship, and
bad idea.
Yeah, So,
not a bad idea to bring kids into the world if you're going to love them and take care of them.
Yeah, I would love to do that. But again, I think you have to have a deep inner feeling that doesn't go away to say, okay, and now I really have this. You know, the universe is telling me that I need to do this, and it's a feeling that you have that doesn't go away. I don't have that right now. Hopefully one day, but...
So let's go back to a studio in New York City in 1974, I think it is.
You're like a therapist. You just ask a couple little questions, and next thing you know, I'm spilling my guts.
Oh, that's why people listen.
You're good. Dr. Yeah. Mitch.
And here's a song about marriage that's not ISIS. By Bob Dylan, solo acoustic from the box set, More Blood, More Tracks. Again, if you're a Dylan freak, you want to have, it's every track recorded at both recording sessions in New York and then back home in Minneapolis. And when he scrapped the album that was about to be released. And
I know the feeling.
And then followed by Betty LeVette and her take, her marvelous version of an Academy Award winning song by Bob Dylan off her album of Dylan song called Things Have Changed. Bob Dylan and Betty LeVette.
Everything went from bad to worse. Money never changed a thing. Death kept following, tracking us down. At least I heard your bluebird sing. Now somebody's got to show their hand. Time is an enemy. I know you're long gone. I guess it must be up to me. If I'd have thought about it, I never would have done it. I guess I would have let it slide. If I'd have paid attention to what others were thinking, the heart inside me would have died. I was just too stubborn to ever be governed by enforced insanity. Someone had to reach for the rising star. I guess it was up to me. Well, the Union Central is pulling out, and the orchids are in bloom. I've only got me one good shirt left, and it smells of stale perfume. In 14 months, I've only smiled once, and I didn't do it consciously. Somebody's got to find your trail. I guess it must be up to me. It was like a revelation when you betrayed me with your touch. I just about convinced myself that nothing had changed that much. The old rounder and the iron mask slipped me the master key. Somebody had to unlock your heart. He said it was up to me. Well, I watched you slowly disappear down into the officers' club. I would have followed you in the door, but I didn't have a ticket stub. So I waited all night till the break of day, hoping one of us could get free. When the dawn came over the river bridge, I knew it was up to me. The only decent thing I did when I worked as a postal clerk was to haul your picture down off the wall near the cage where I used to work. Was I a fool or not to try to protect your identity? You looked a little burned out, my friend. I thought it might be up to me. Well, I met somebody face to face and I had to remove my hat. She's everything I need in love, but I can't be swayed by that. It frightens me, the awful truth of how sweet life can be. But she ain't gonna make a move. I guess it must be up to me. We heard the Sermon on the Mount, and I knew it was too complex. It didn't amount to anything more than what the broken glass reflects. When you bite off more than you can chew, you pay the penalty. Somebody's got to tell the tale. I guess it must be up to me. Well, Dupree came in pimping tonight to the Thunderbird Cafe. Crystal wanted to talk to him, I had to look the other way. Well, I just can't rest without your love, I need your company. But you ain't gone across the line, I guess it must be up to me. There's a note left in the bottle, you can give it to Estelle. She's the one you've been wondering about, but there's really nothing much to tell. We both heard voices for a while, now the rest is history. Somebody's got to cry some tears, I guess it must be up to me. So go on, boys, and play your hand. Life is a pantomime. The ringleaders from the county seat say you don't have all that much time. And the girl with me behind the shades, she ain't my property. One of us has got to hit the road, I guess it must be up to me. And if we never meet again, baby, remember me. My lone guitar played sweet for you, that old-time melody. And the harmonica around my neck, I blew it for you free. No one else could play that tune, you knew it was up to me.
Care, but things have changed. This place here ain't doing me no good. It's got me all fucked up. I should be in Hollywood. Just for a second there, I thought I saw something move. Gonna take dancing lessons, gonna learn to jitterbug rag. I ain't taking no shortcuts, I might even dress and drag. Only a fool here would think it's got anything to prove. The very next man I see, grab him by the hand and go running on down the street. People are crazy, times are strange. I'm locked in tight and I'm way out of range. I used to care, but things have changed. Man, I'm me. Grab him by the hand and go running down the street. People are crazy and times are strange. I'm locked in tight and I'm on a rage. I used to care, but things have changed. Hurt easy, but I just don't show it. You can hurt somebody and not even know it. The next 60 seconds could be like an eternity. Gonna get low down, fly real high. All the truth in the world ain't nothing but one big lie. I'm in love with a man that don't even appeal to me. Some folks would just go and jump in the lake. I ain't so eager to make that kind of mistake. I'm locked in tight, but I'm way out of range. I used to care, but things have changed. Things have changed. Things have changed. Things have changed. Things have changed.
From Betty LaVette's album of Dylan songs called Things Have Changed, which won Dylan an Academy Award for a movie starring Tobey Maguire and Michael Douglas, Wonder Boys. You ever see that movie?
Yes, I did.
It's got a lot of Dylan, Van Morrison, great soundtrack. Curtis Hanson, who just passed away in the last couple of years.
Who's that?
It was directed by Curtis Hanson, who did 8 Mile.
Michael Douglas was like a university professor?
Yeah. That's right.
Literature professor or something?
Yeah.
Okay. Remember. Smoking the reefer all the time?
They
reefer madness?
They released the movie, and it didn't really go anywhere. And they said, every critic loved it. So they said, well, let's try releasing this again. And it still didn't go anywhere. but the soundtrack sure did, all the way to the Academy Awards. Playing behind Betty LeVette on this album, Steve Jordan, who produced it, Larry Campbell, used to be part of Dylan's band, Pino Palladino on bass, Keith Richards is on here, Trombone Shardy is on here, Ivan Neville is on here. He just announced his retirement.
Ivan Neville?
Yeah.
What do you mean retirement? Well, just he's hanging it up?
He's hanging it up, yeah. Do you ever see the Neville brothers?
No. But I love them.
Yeah.
Aaron Neville, the voice doesn't match the body.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Tell it like it is.
No, me. There's a great live version of that. I think, I forget what year it is, and it's just, ugh, so good. He's such a good singer. So Ivan Neville's just hanging it up.
I read that somewhere where he's just, yeah, I don't know if that means he's not going on the road anymore. He's not doing actual sessions. Maybe he'll still sing live in and around New Orleans. Who knows? But and prior to that was Up to Me, previously unreleased from Blood on the Track session, A&R Studios in New York, September 16th, 1974.
You think Springsteen's going to retire?
No.
No. You think Dylan's going to retire?
No.
Okay.
I actually went to New York recently to see him with Lloyd Fischler and Gary Silverman.
The original BBP boys.
Yeah, and at the Beacon Theater, and only because I had heard that his recent tour, he was sounding amazingly good. And I went, you know what? New York, the Beacon. If this is the last time I'm going to see Bob Dylan, this is perfect. And it was tremendous. Tremendous. I was blown away. I think the 2 or 3 years where he was singing Sinatra songs got him to focus on how to sing again, in addition to probably quitting smoking and a few other vices. What?
I think he could always sing.
Yeah, I know, but...
I think he chose to sing. I think he chose to sing that way. Hey, you know it. Because if you listen to Nashville Skyline, and don't say it because of the motorcycle accident.
No.
But he sings differently on Nashville Skyline.
Yeah, he's crooning like a country guy.
Yeah, so he
has his singing voice.
That's his choice.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm so good.
The Lay Lady Lay single.
Yeah.
Is not the Bob Dylan that most people know. But I just feel, I wish you were with us because I took you to a couple of Dylan shows in Montreal and they were both kind of, they had their moments, but they weren't really like at his best. And we just saw him at his best. And it's remarkable to me at age 77 that he seems that on that particular night at the Beacon Theater was, and he's released his own bourbon called Heaven's Door.
No.
And I was sipping his bourbon, which you can't find anywhere yet.
Why?
Why not?
But why would you do that?
Why not?
Oh, I don't know.
Because like he likes bourbon and he wants his own. Larry Robinson and Guy Lafleur just released their own bourbon.
I'm not saying it's a good idea. I think it's weird. Matthew McConaughey, right on, right on, right on. He's got his shirt.
All right, all right, all right.
I think it's time we take our shirts off. Come on.
So really? Have you? Yeah.
Heaven's Door.
Yeah, I was sipping it during the show.
Oh, my God.
I was sipping a double. It was good. It's good.
All right.
If you like bourbon. So do you have any kind of resolution other than getting something else down on?
Resolution for 2019?
Yeah.
Have
you recorded a cover?
What?
Have you ever recorded a cover? Not performed covers. You did, but I mean recorded one.
Yeah.
On an album.
On an album?
She's All Right. She's All Right.
Yeah, She's All Right.
That's great. That's fantastic.
That's never been released, though, officially.
I know.
It was supposed to be on the...
Staying in the South for Rosie.
Yeah, but it wasn't mastered in time, so I had to. I was on a deadline. Recorded a cover on any of my albums? Yeah, the first my first full length, which was West End Plaza, which is when I think we first started to hang out in earnest. I did a cover of Johnny Owen's cover of the Bee Gees' "Staying Alive."
Oh, that was great. Yeah,
his version was better, but I was just in love with the
his but
arrangement.
Used to play that a lot live. Too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, Staying Alive and I guess She's All Right were the two.
Is there somebody you'd like to sit in with and play if you had a choice?
Play with?
Yeah.
That I could sit in with. Alive or dead? Alive?
Anybody? Well, yeah, it would be harder to, unless you could channel them.
No, I would have liked to see what it'd be like to be on stage in James Brown's band. You know, with the tension that he created with his bands in terms of the tightness and if there were errors.
Have you been watching Tales from the Tour Bus?
Yeah.
That is the greatest.
Mike Judge.
That is the greatest show on music I've ever seen on TV. It's fantastic. It's just, I tweeted at him to let him know that because the first year was
Rick James,
the Outlaws, the Country Outlaws, Billy Joe Shaver and all those guys, Waylon Jennings. And now the second year is Funk.
Yeah.
Rick James.
Yeah, and Prince. I would have loved to have sat in played with Prince. I think Alan's probably nodding his head right now. Prince, James Brown.
Prince once opened for Rick James. That
went on
tour. Imagine that.
Went on tour.
Yeah. He was his opening act.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to have been Rick James. Prince opened for you. That must have been tough. It was like Bob Marley opened for Sly and the Family Stone. One of the first big tours they got on, and they lasted like four shows or something. They got booted off. Because everybody thought they were big, reefer heads who were just going to come out and be. And I think Sly, from what I've read, Sly was partying quite a bit. And his show wasn't really together. And I think Bob Marley and the Wailers, they were on a mission. They were the whole Rast movement, and they were a fine oiled machine. They lasted like four shows, and they got booted. You're about to say Frank Marino?
Yeah, I think Sly probably peaked as a live performer at Woodstock. You know, he recorded some really great music after that, but in terms of live, he was so whacked. But Frank Marino and Mahogany Rush got booted off a European tour with Aerosmith. They were too good.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do?
So we're coming to the end here.
Yeah.
And we're going to go out with, it's funny, I was talking about Dylan channeling Sinatra and all those traditional American songs, people like Johnny Mercer and all that. Willie Nelson released an album this year of Sinatra standards called My Way. And we're going to go out with something that is very meaningful to me. And I hope you have enjoyed listening. And we want to thank you for listening to the Melnick and Murphy podcast. We'll be coming back in 2019 with more. We got to do a second part of our favorite in concert recordings through the years. We'll be having some special guests.
And if you're listening out there, and you want us to do a podcast on a certain topic, I think if you want to hit us up on Instagram or Facebook, send us a message.
Yeah, or there's a comment section right underneath this podcast on the website.
Absolutely.
You're free to comment. Let us know what you think.
We should do a hip-hop podcast. I know you're a big hip-hop head. But for real, we should do,
Yes.
Reggae, absolutely. We could do a reggae podcast.
I could bring
podcast.
My daughter in to help us out a little bit.
Yeah.
Or Anakin Slade.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I think that would be cool.
Or, unless Moz Def wants to walk in. And
yeah, put the call in. We'll bring you into Montreal to do the podcast.
But there's all kinds of shows waiting for us to put in the bank here. Mm. So, again, thanks to Alan Hodgson and CNS Studios in Western NDG.
West Side.
Lorne Rubin of Paramount Financial Services for helping us out and keeping this going. We greatly appreciate it. And again, we will be getting a little more support. We're actually also planning on doing an on-location podcast in 2019.
We are?
We'll let you know about that, which will be followed by a live show by Shane Murphy and his band after the podcast as part of the podcast. How about that?
I am?
Yeah.
What's going to happen? We're doing the podcast.
We're going to do the podcast live on location somewhere in front of an audience.
All right.
And then at the end of the podcast, you're going to get up and do your thing.
Okay. Sounds good.
It's not a freebie.
Sounds like a plan.
Yes. Anything you'd like to add? Anybody you'd like to say hi to? Anything? We're going to see you doing stand-up comedy in 2019.
Yes.
You're going to record a new album and release an album, in 2019.
And I think I want to do a live concert recording, live album. A live album that would be the same when we release the album. I want to do a two-nighter somewhere and record it, and video it, and do all the classics.
Done. Okay.
Yeah. What do you think?
Let's work on that.
Okay.
Since we're going to have something else to work on too.
Yeah.
For December.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
What are you doing? You're Mike Tyson.
Yes.
Anything else?
Three times to the body, and I can tell it with random amount.
Anything else you've seen on Netflix or TV you'd like to share with us that you've enjoyed? Any music documentaries? Any concerts? Any
concert? No.
Any incredible awareness that you have discovered that you like to share with our audience, our incredibly loyal audience?
if you haven't heard of him, just you go on the old YouTube and put in Christopher Hitchens.
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding?
Are you kidding? No, I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's he'll flip your lid. I listen to him now every day.
Yeah, he's somebody else I was mentioning earlier in the podcast, Bill Hicks, George Carlin, Richard Pryor, Frank Zappa. You can throw Hunter S. Thompson into it, how they would be reacting to what is going on in our planet right now. That's another voice, certainly, that...
Yeah, says all the things you don't want to hear.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
2019 is the best year yet for you, Shane, and maybe even meet somebody and get married and have kids.
You as well, Mitch.
Stay young. We're going out with Willie.
Fairy tales can come true. It can happen to you if you're young at heart. For it's hard, you will find, to be narrow of mind if you're young at heart. You can go to extremes with impossible schemes. You can laugh when your dreams fall apart at the seams. Life gets more exciting with each passing day. And love is either in your heart or on its way. Don't you know that it's worth every treasure on earth to be young at heart? For as rich as you are, it's much better by far to be young at heart. And if you should survive to 105, look at all you'll derive out of being alive. And here is the best part, you have a head start if you are among the very young at heart. And if you survive to 105, look at all you'll derive out of being.